Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fence podcast, joins us. Always one of our more popular guests that we have. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. So I don't know if I owe you an apology or anything, but I've kind of misled everybody because I keep thinking and waiting for that explosive play with Waddle and Tyreek Hill to come back, and I realize, and they finally came out and said it, and Tua talked about it, that short, quick, efficient passing game that they have. And so the 2 years of explosive and quick scoring plays, it's a different kind of offense. It looked really good, by the way. I mean, a lot of guys open, catching it. Mike talked about the players they have maybe better fitted for that stuff, especially Jonnu Smith and the backs coming out of the backfield. What'd you think? Are we done with that? Are you still giving that time to potentially come back, or this is what it's going to be going forward?
So I thought it was interesting because this question has continuously come up with Dolphins fans, and you go and watch the tape, especially the game against the Raiders. I thought they had some opportunities down the field, but there are very high percentage, high efficiency completions underneath that have equal amounts of space because the Dolphins can put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the same side of the field, and teams are going to box those two guys, and the guys that are playing on the roof are probably going to end up at 25 yards of depth at some point in the play, and that's just how deep that they're playing. So from a spacing perspective, if they're going to commit 4-2 or 4-3 with like a delayed release out of the backfield, the spacing and that much depth, the spacing that allows you in the rest of the field, I think you really saw that where there were times where, you know, maybe Tua does look to just push the ball to Tyreek Hill. But that's something that we've been asking for from this offense, to be a little bit more balanced and authentic and finding open guys. And they're doing a really good job of it right now. Now, some of that's still on tape. I think there will be certain game situations down the stretch where they're going to have to take some of those shots. I actually thought the third and eight throw that he had to Tyreek there in the second half against the Raiders was a good example of a tight window throw.
Yeah.
The Raiders rotated to Tampa 2 out of a cover one man look, but they had extra guys up on the line. It was an exotic post-snap shift of the shell of the defense. And he put the ball on Tyreek's back shoulder on that in-breaking route at 18 yards. And it was a really well-executed rep of what they just used to do persistently to teams last year. So you see the flashes of it. You see guys that are open. But if teams are going to play you with this much space, like I don't have a problem with it right now. And I think it's sustainable until teams start to crowd, you know, inside of 10 yards, and that's when the big plays are going to start showing back up again.
You know, because I had some buddies call me after, going, whoa, what's right? You know, whoa, why not the big plays? I said, listen, man, not today. Today everything was clean, short. Guys caught everything. A lot of guys wide open. The picks and rub plays were – Waddle did some great job on those, and they did not adjust well to them, so we had guys wide open outside. So I thought it was just it was smart. I'm with you. I have no problem with it. You can tell Tua feels comfortable with it. He looked down the field a couple of times, and he dumps it off to either a running back or Jonnu Smith, who runs like he is just unbelievable for a big guy, the way he runs after the catch. And we've seen him the last couple of weeks come up with some huge plays.
Yeah, Jonnu almost hit 20 miles per hour on the gun on that 57-yarder.
Did he really? Wow.
So that's a 240-pound cat running at 20 miles per hour. That is a big guy with a lot of speed. You know, you're getting some looks where you're getting quarters and you got three guys playing underneath, and the guys on the three guys underneath that are trying to space the entire second level of the defense, they're playing at 12 to 15 yards. Like, how do you not take the swing to Devon Achane?
Right.
And he's in the flat. And he's got the closest defender's probably 18 yards away from him when you triangulate the entire field. So I feel good about the offense right now as far as the efficiency of it. You have a game over game over game against different types of defenses that try to play you in different kinds of ways.
Yep.
Of that efficiency and being able to string together these long plays. I mean, Joe, that was the whole talking point all offseason. It was, oh, they're too explosive, play reliant. They can't string together drives and play late season football. This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Now, there's conversations about the running game, and without Alec Ingold and without Austin Jackson for the second straight week, you felt like there could have been some more opportunities for you, and that there were some missed assignments on the edge between the tackles and the tight ends and the wide receivers. Like, I thought all of those guys contributed to some of your losses on the edge. But I thought Mike McDaniel did a nice job yesterday talking about how if that's the spacing that they're going to give us and that's how they're going to try to play us, you can use that short passing game as an extension of the run guys with the same kind of concept of getting the guy the ball in space.
Especially when you got guys so open, and Tua went right to him, as you said. I'm always amazed. Achane is clearly, now the NFL must know this, because we talk so much about Waddle and Hill. Achane is the number one guy on this team. He is the one that's going to see that football. It's going to touch his hands more than anybody else. And at times, you're right, he was so open out in the flats to catch it and run up the field for another 5 or 6 or yards or more to get first downs. That really surprised me. Hey, so I got to ask you, going forward now here with everything, what did you think of the offensive line? The numbers are down the last 2 weeks, about a 3-yard average basically, with 82 yards and 67 yards with the Rams in this last game against the Raiders. Are you concerned? Or I know some of the guys are banged up. What are your thoughts going forward with this running game that's got to be better in this cold weather coming up?
Yeah, I think there's a couple conversations that are going to play out before our eyes here. I think one of them is getting Alec Ingold back. I think that's the first piece, because that's not a long-term absence with what he's been working through. So Mike McDaniel said last week he didn't have a setback. He ends up not playing. They're going to need him down the stretch. But he is such a big tool, and I think his absence, you've seen it kind of trickle down with what Durham Smythe is asked to do, what roles he's asked to fill. Same thing for Julian Hill. You can tell they're just missing, like, that effective fit piece from somebody who's not blocking on the line of scrimmage. So that's what Alec does best. So I'm not panicking yet until I see what it looks like when you get Alec Ingold back in and no Austin Jackson. And if you still struggle there, then I think you start asking yourself how ready can we get Patrick Paul? Can he play? You know, I was pretty resistant to cross-training him and getting him at looks at right tackle. It sounds like he's been getting some opportunities with that in practice. Now that Teron Armstead went a whole week without practicing this past week on a short week, I'm sure Pat got a lot of reps there. But he would give you the juice in the run game. The challenge is the pass protection. How ready is he to do that? And I don't have the answer to that. They will internally be the only one that does know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, how did Kendall Lamb play overall? They did a great job against their pass rusher, Crosby. I thought overall those guys really did a good job of taking him out of the game. How did he play?
So I thought it was a really fun chess match between Miami and their protections and the Raiders and what they were doing with Crosby. So if Crosby was over top of Lamb, more often than not, they were going to turn the center that way, and Lee Meichenberg was there to help. So you were getting effectively two guys on Crosby, and you were leaving the other guys to play one-on-one matchups. And, you know, that worked pretty well. Kendall Lamb is a good pass protector. I think he's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, and I thought it showed. I thought he framed Crosby pretty well. Crosby did get in on the one sack that Tua had and disrupt and force Tua to step up into somebody else. But then when Crosby would go over and play over top of Armstead, they would turn away and they would let Teron play on the island, and that allowed kind of the mechanics of your entire front five play out like normal and not be getting schemed double teams on right. One guy. And the Raiders, they'd start playing games with, if we're going to put Crosby over top of Lamb, then we're going to try to put a defensive tackle in the A-gap and lock the center so that we could try to play a twist game. Or they put Crosby head up over the tackle and walk a rush linebacker up outside of him to try and do the numbers, and then they'd start bringing pressures away from that side and dropping the guy that's walked up on the line of scrimmage out. So it was really fun when you went back and watched the game to see, like, the chess match of, oh, they're playing Crosby this way. Oh, Crosby's playing us this way. Oh, the Raiders are putting this guy here. And it was a well-designed offensive attack, I thought, from a protection standpoint. And the guys, other than some stunts where they were running two- and three-man stunts, I thought that's where the Raiders really got some disruption. But fortunately, Miami had the ability to get the ball out fast, which we know they are very capable of doing.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, I got to ask you, I don't know what the breakdown in snaps was, but Storm Duck played ahead of Cam Smith for a lot of that game. Were you surprised by that? Because the team obviously, after Cam's last game, said, no, he's getting better. And I mean, it's always positive, so it's hard to read with the position coaches. What's your take on, is Storm in your mind ahead of Cam, or is that going to be a rotation? What do you think happens there?
I think you're going to let the best guy step in there, and I think they're probably in the process of trying to figure out who that is without Kendall Fuller. Now, I think both guys have ups and downs. I would generally agree that Cam, I think, has gotten progressively a little bit more consistent throughout this stretch of playing time that he's had. But the fact that it's still up and down to the degree that the door is left open for an undrafted free agent in Storm Duck, this is a second-round pick. You don't get warm and fuzzies about that. So hopefully, they find the right buttons to push for Cam, because he is so physically talented. Like, it is very apparent how talented he is. And there's been some stuff over his last couple of weeks where there's quick hitters on the perimeter and he's playing from depth, or there's run support opportunities. He's doing that stuff really well. It's staying attached to guys down the field that is the big issue, I think, for Cam Smith as far as the consistency of his play.
Yeah. Well, you know what, man? We always say this, the higher you're drafted, the more we've had the old microscope on Chop Robinson, who looks like he's getting better and better. Had two sacks in back-to-back games. I know he didn't have one in the last game. What's been your take on Chop? And it looks like playing him wider has really helped him.
Yeah, and which is not surprising given the first-step explosiveness that he has. And some of that, frankly, is tied to what other bodies you have elsewhere across the front. And how much do you trust the interior guys to keep their integrity and be able to deconstruct blocks so that you can play the end a little wider and not feel like you're giving up chances to get gouged in the B gap? So I think the entire front has done a nice job during this stretch of play since Zach Sealer has come back. Deshaun Hand has really developed for them.
And good for him. That's a good one. Glad you said that. Yeah, Deshaun Hand really played well.
He's taken good amount of snaps, and he's getting off the blocks. I don't think the pass rush ceiling's necessarily ever going to be super high, but that's a player, it was a question coming in, and I feel good about him taking snaps now. So all of that, I think, trickles down to optimizing the opportunities of a guy like Chop, who has such dominant first-step explosiveness that the wider you can put him, the more strain he can put on a tackle, and then the more space he has to make the decision on how he wants to continue his rush after his first two steps.
By the way, before I let you go, did your friends tease you with that tailgate food they had last week?
Yeah.
You know what? That's wrong. What they did, we should call them out. That was wrong. I was sitting up there, had very little for breakfast, and I'm trying to skip a meal in between now, so I don't eat too much food at the game. And man, I saw that and I just, they're bad people. I thought they were good people.
they're trying to coax you down, that's all. They're just trying to coax you down.
Hey, Kyle, thank you, man. I appreciate it very much. Good stuff.
Thanks, Kyle.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.